I want to invite you this morning to take out your Bibles, no matter where you're at, and turn with me to a passage in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. And as we get ready to get started, also find the book of Mark chapter 8. We're going to go in between these two passages today. Today, I want to share a message entitled Double Vision. Double Vision. And, you know, I know it doesn't look like it, but I have what we call bifocals on, or progressives. Now that's the new thing, is progressives. And the difference between a bifocal and a progressive is just a hard line. Really, these are bifocals, but you just can't see the break between one area of vision, which might be, in my case, might be a ability to see clearly at a distance, versus the magnified area in the bottom, which creates for me a magnification to see up close so that I can read. But when I first bought bifocals, there was an interesting phenomenon that was going on in my life. I kept finding myself looking right at that area in the progressives where the two met, and everything would be blurry. Anybody who's had bifocals or progressives knows what I'm talking about. It takes you a little while to get used to it. In fact, if you turn your eyes to the left or the right and you don't look ahead, it also gets a little blurry. Everything, it almost creates like a double vision. Well, this last week, I was reading a passage of Scripture, and the Spirit of the Lord quickened something to my heart. And I want to share with you what the Lord quickened to my heart. But I want to do it, first of all, by asking you a very, very important question this morning. And here's the question. Is it possible, and this should be on your screen right now, is it possible to walk with Jesus, experience His power and His miracles, and yet have Him appear only to go unnoticed? I want you to look at that question on your screen for just a moment, and I want you to answer that question. Is it really possible to walk with Jesus, to experience His power, to see His miracles, and yet have Him appear only to go unnoticed? Well, today, we're going to answer that question, so let's do that by going to the Scripture. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 19, the Bible says, "For I am about to do something new." Now, this is the New Living Translation, and I love the way it translates this. He says, "I'm about to do something new." This is God talking. God said, "I'm about to do something new." And then He says, "See, I've already begun it." But then He goes on and He says, "But do you not see it?" How is it possible that God could be doing something, say to us that we should be able to see what He's doing, but then turn around and say, "You're not seeing it"? He says, "I'll make pathways through the wilderness. I'll create rivers in the dry desert." And then in verse 20, He said, "The wild animals in the field will thank me, the jackals and the owls too, for giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make rivers in a dry wasteland so my chosen people can be refreshed." Now, I'm just going to go back here for just a moment, and I want to look again at verse number 19. Notice what God said. God said, not Pastor Shane, God said, "I'm about to do something new." Say that out loud with me together. "I'm about to do something new." Folks, I believe that God is up to something new right now in our midst. Right here in America, we see a wasteland. We see a desert. We see tragedy. But God says, in the midst of the wasteland, I'm going to make a river in the desert, in the middle of the wasteland. I'm going to do something miraculous. And then He says, "See, I've already begun it." See, I believe that God has already begun what He's going to do. Now, it might not be something that is just noticeable or manifest or plain, as we say in the mountains, as the nose on your face. It could be that God is doing something and we should be seeing it, but we're not seeing it. You see, we've got double vision. The reason we have double vision is because we have two sets of eyes. We have one set of eyes, which is our natural eyes, of which we see and interrelate with this world. But then there's another set of eyes. It's called our spiritual eyes. And those spiritual eyes should be able to see beyond the natural realm to see what God is doing in the spirit realm. So again, I want you to look with me at verse number 19 here. He says, "For I'm about to do something new." Again, God says, "I'm up to something new. See, I've already begun it." But then he comes along and he says, "Do you not see it? Do you not see it?" I believe that's exactly where so many of us are right now. We're in that place. Now, let me go over to the book of Mark, chapter 8 now, and let me show you something interesting in Mark, chapter 8, because there's a story that I believe really bears out the power of what I'm sharing with you right now. Mark, chapter 8, verse 22, it says, "And when they arrived to Bethsaida..." Now, the word Bethsaida actually means home or house. It actually means a house of hunt or a house of fish. This was a home for all of the fishermen in the northern part of the Galilee. So it would have been called the house of fish, or the home where the fishermen lived. So this was somebody's home. Notice here, he says, "When they arrived at Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus, and they begged him to touch the man and to heal him. Jesus, the Bible says, took the blind man by the hand, and he led him out of the village. Then, spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him, and he says, 'Can you see anything now?'" Verse number 24, "Then the man looked around and said, 'Yes.' But he said, 'I see people.'" He said, "Can you see anything?" He said, "Yes, I can see. I see people. But I can't see them clearly." Now, isn't it interesting? He can see, but he can't see. He can see, but he can't see. He said, "They look like a bunch of trees walking around." Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were open. His sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. Then the Bible says in verse number 26, Jesus sent him away saying, "Don't go back into the village on your way home." In other words, this wasn't your home. You were just staying here, so I need you to go back to your home, but don't go back through the village that you came out of. Now, I want you to listen to me today. Again, I want to tell you, God is up to something new. God is up to something new. It doesn't look good. It doesn't look like something new, but God is up to something new. And you have a choice right now. You can either live by your natural set of eyes, or you can ask God to give you some spiritual eyes, and you can have those spiritual eyes to allow you to see what God is doing. I believe we need the Lord to come like this blind man to lay hands on us. And I think he needs to restore to us our sight. And I'm not talking about physical sight. I'm talking about spiritual sight, so that we can see clearly what God is up to. I think too much of the world, and specifically too much of the church, has double vision. They can see, but they can't necessarily see what God is up to. Now, here's what's interesting. When you look at Jesus and the topic of blindness all through the Word of God, you'll find out that he has a lot to say about it. I did some study. Let me just pull three or four examples for you. First of all, Luke chapter 4, verse 18 through 19. Notice Jesus said, "I came and I am anointed to heal the blind." Jesus is anointed to heal the blind. That's what his gift is. So guess what? If you can't see clearly, I got good news for you today. I know a man who can lay hands on you and he can cause you to see clearly. "I can see clearly now, the rain has come." You know I got to do it in every service, right? I got to grab a song. But then Jesus goes on and he talks about another issue of blindness. Luke chapter 6, verse 39. He calls religion the blind leading the blind. Uh-oh. So now I can see, but I can't see because I have a blinder on called religion. Next week I'm going to talk about blinders with this topic of double vision. But I have a blinder on and I can't see, even though I can see. I can see with my natural eyes, but religion is blinding me from seeing everything clearly that Jesus is up to. Then we jump over to Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, and notice what Jesus says about the church. He said, "You are blind, And you need to purchase eye salve and anoint your eyes so that you can see clearly. Now, obviously, he wasn't talking about their physical eyes. He was talking about their spiritual eyes. You can see, but you can't see. God says, Isaiah 43, verse number 19, I'm going to do a new thing. See, I've already begun it. Don't you see it? Which eyes are you looking through today? Are you looking through your natural eyes? Are you looking through your spiritual eyes? Because Jesus has a lot to say about blindness. He is a person who heals the blind, but religion can blind you. Church can blind you. So again, I want to ask you the question, is it possible for Jesus to do all the miraculous, Jesus to heal the sick, Jesus to show up in all of his power, only to show up and go totally unnoticed? Because we don't have eyes to see what we should be able to see. And here's something that you need to know about Jesus and blindness. Jesus healed the blind in all four Gospels. It was such a big deal to Jesus that in all four Gospels, he had to make a point by healing the blind in all four Gospels. Here's something else you'll find about blindness in your Bible. Whenever you look at blindness, many times blindness is also equal to lameness. They're tied together. So if you're blind, you're also lame. Now, there are two miracles, ladies and gentlemen, in the book of Mark that aren't connected to any of the other four Gospels. Two miracles. It's the miracle in chapter 7 of Jesus healing a deaf man who also has an impediment in his speech. And the miracle in chapter 8 of Jesus spitting in the man's eye and healing the blind man that we just read about in Bethsaida. Now, what's interesting is that there is a passage in your Bible that serves as a bridge from Mark 7 to the end of Mark 8. Between the two instances, the man who is deaf and has an impediment in his speech and the man who is blind in Bethsaida, there is a bridge of the scripture. And in this bridge of these two miracles, something interesting happens. I want us to read it together in Mark chapter 8. The Bible says, so he got back into the boat. And he left them. Now, Jesus had just got through feeding the 5,000 with the loaves and fishes. This is right before the incident of him healing the man by spitting in his eyes, and right after the incident of healing the man who's deaf and loosing his tongue. He feeds the 5,000, they get in a boat, and they cross to the other side of the lake. But the disciples had forgotten to bring any food. They had only one loaf of bread with them in the boat. And as they were crossing the lake, Jesus started preaching to them a very important message. Now notice how natural eyes and spiritual eyes see things totally different. Jesus says, watch out. Look out. Use your eye. Watch out. Beware. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod. You need to beware. You need to watch out. You need to be looking out for this. You need to watch out. Well, notice this. At this saying, the Bible says in verse 16, they began to argue with each other because they hadn't brought enough bread with them. Jesus, in verse 17, knows what they were saying. So he said to them, look at this now. Why are you arguing about having no bread? I mean, the guy just broke a couple of loaves and fed 5,000. Surely he could take the one loaf they have, break it, and feed 12 guys in a boat. He says, why are you arguing about having no bread? Don't you know or understand even yet? Are your hearts too hard to take it in? Look at verse number 18. In the New Living Translation, it says, you have eyes, but you can't see. You have ears, but you can't hear. Don't you remember anything at all? In other words, you are looking at my message that I'm preaching one way. You have eyes to see bread, the natural thing, but you don't have eyes or ears to understand what I'm saying to you in the spirit realm. You have eyes, but you can't see. You've got double vision. Things aren't clear to you. I want you to listen to me today. Things are not clear to you because your eyes are on the natural and not on the supernatural. Things are not clear to you. You have eyes, but you can't see. And then he comes along in verse number 19. He says, when I fed the 5,000 with five loaves and some bread, how many baskets of leftovers did you pick up afterwards? 12, they said. He said, when I fed the 4,000 with seven loaves, how many large baskets of leftovers did you pick up? Seven, they said. He said, don't you understand yet? Don't you understand yet? That's a powerful question. Don't you understand yet? Let me submit something to you. I want to submit that we have a God who does the miraculous, that we have a God who is a God of power, and that in the middle of crisis situations and times of our life, let me tell you what happens. We get our eyes on the natural things, and in those moments usually is when God starts doing something new. It's in the crisis moments, the catalyst moments of our life, that God begins to do something new. I feel the Lord on me right now while I'm preaching to you today. God begins to do something new. But if you're not careful, your natural eyes will dictate to you what you're going to do and how you're going to feel and where you're going to go. It'll dictate to you when in reality, we need to peel the scales off our natural eyes and we need to ask God to help us to see clearly. So I've got a question for you right now. Here's a big question. What is the cause of our double vision? It's right there on your screen. What is the cause of our double vision? What really messes me up to where I don't see clearly like I should? I'm going to give you a one-word answer to it today, and you better listen to this. If you've ever heard anything I said, you better listen to this one thing. Here's your one-word answer today: environment. Environment. Bethsaida was an interesting city. It was the city where Jesus did most of his major miracles. It was the city 5,000 fed, 4,000 fed. And if it wasn't right there in the city, it was just right there in the immediate surrounding areas. This was the area that saw Jesus do the most miracles. This was an environment that saw the miraculous. Yet notice, this is also the exact same area that even though Jesus did mighty acts of power there, later he had to produce a woe on that city. Listen to it in Matthew chapter 11, verse 21. Doom to you, Chorazin, doomed to you, Bethsaida, because if Tyre and Sidon had seen half of the powerful miracles you have seen, they would have been on their knees in a minute. At Judgment Day, they'll get off easy compared to you. Folks, Tyre and Sidon was where Jezebel was from. Jesus said, if the miracles that were done in you, Bethsaida, would have been done where Jezebel was from, Jezebel would have repented of her sin. They would have bowed their knees in a minute and accepted who I am. Then he goes on to say in the next verse, he said, if the people of Sodom had your chances and they saw the miracles, the city would still be around to this day. They would have repented of their sin. And at Judgment Day, he said, they'll get off easy compared to you. So again, I want to show you this. Here is an area, Bethsaida. And if you ever go to Israel with me, it is in the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. Right there beside Bethsaida is Capernaum. This is where Jesus lived and Peter lived with his mother-in-law. And right there, Chorazin, Bethsaida, all just within a small journey, a mile or so of each other. Right there is where Jesus did almost all of his major miracles in his ministry. In his time on the earth, they saw the dead raised. They saw the blind see. They saw the lame get up and leap like an animal. They saw the hungry fed. They saw miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. Yet something was wrong with their environment that caused them not to be able to see who Jesus really was in his power. So I go back to the first question that I asked you at the beginning of this message. Is it complete? completely possible for Jesus to show up, for us to walk with Jesus, to talk with Jesus, to go to church, to see God do mighty miracles and powerful things, and yet have him show up in a new way that we have never seen him show up before, and us not recognize him when he shows up with us. And I want to tell you, I believe that the answer to that question is absolutely yes. And I want to submit to you that all of us, me included, are extremely guilty of this, of not recognizing the Lord when he shows up, because we've allowed the environment to shape our thinking and to determine what we see. Here's something interesting. Jesus had to lead both of the men. Mark chapter 7, Mark chapter 8. Jesus had to lead both of the men out of their environment to get them delivered. You see, I told you there was a bridge between two passages. The one man in Mark chapter 7 who has a speech impediment and cannot hear. The other man in Mark chapter 8 who is blind and Jesus spits in his eye. There's a bridge between the two passages. The disciples are in the boat. They have a problem with double vision. They're walking with Jesus. They're living with Jesus. They're eating with Jesus. And yet here is the most powerful manifestation of God ever right there in their midst. And they don't even understand what's among them. They don't even understand what he's up to. They don't even see. They don't have eyes to see. They're more worried about bread. They're more worried about what they're going to have for dinner. They're more worried about not having enough to eat than they are worried about seeing Jesus do what Jesus came to do. And most of the modern church is worried about going to work, worried about going to school, worried about hanging out at their house, worried about what they're going to do with their friends, but they're not worried about seeing Jesus in the midst of a dying and unjust generation. But I believe that God is up to something new. Can you not see it? I'm going to say, yes, I see it, Lord. You are making rivers in the midst of the desert. You're going to do impossible things in the midst of you're going to do possible things in the midst of a great impossibilities. That's the God I serve, folks. And that's what I choose to see. But the reason we can't see it, to be real honest, is because a lot of us are in environments that blind us. And unfortunately, as Jesus said, we're the blind leading the blind, and we're all falling in a ditch because of it. What has blinded the Pharisees? What has blinded the Sadducees? What has blinded the Sanhedrin? For 4,000 years, they studied about it. They prophesied about it. They talked about it. They had discussions about it. They gave their time to it. They went to a temple and a tabernacle. They prayed at altars. They gave millions of sacrifices, all to see one moment of history where God would come down, Emmanuel, God with us. And now God finally shows up in the form of flesh, and they can't see what they've been looking for 4,000 years. Why? Because now religion has blinded them from seeing who Jesus is. I rebuke the curse and the blindness of religion off of everybody who's watching me today, including myself. I pray that Jesus would spit in our eyes in this generation and help us to see what he's doing in the midst of an untold generation who doesn't know who Jesus is. I know it looks bad out there, but you better hear me. God is up to something. Can you not see it? Now, media folks back there, if we're not getting thumbs up and hearts, I don't know what else to do to get an amen on what I'm preaching right now. When I was reading this passage and I noticed that Jesus had to lead both men out of their environment to get them delivered, the Lord spoke to me a question. He spoke it to me, but I'm going to give it to you. And if you're going to tweet anything, this is your tweetable moment right here in the message. Here's what the Lord asked me. He said, Shane, are you in covenant with the wrong environment? I'm asking you the question this morning, are you in covenant with the wrong environment? Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. This is so important for you to get what I'm about to say right now. Jesus had to take the blind man out of Bethsaida. And then after he healed him, he said, don't you go back to that place on your way home. Bethsaida was not the blind man's home. That wasn't his home. Bethsaida was just a place that he decided to live for a while. And somehow in the middle of Bethsaida, he became blind by the environment that he was in. So when Jesus healed him, he said, don't you dare go back to that old dead environment. Some of you are in dead churches. You need to come out of that old unfaith-filled atmosphere. You need to get in an atmosphere, an environment where God can do the miraculous. Your environment is shaping your vision. This man wasn't from Bethsaida. It wasn't his home. But he had made a covenant with the wrong environment, and it blinded him. I want to ask you the question again. Are you in covenant with the wrong environment? I believe right now the Holy Spirit is speaking to some of you listening to me, because some of you are in covenant with the wrong people. Some of you are in covenant with some wrong relationships, and it's got you blinded to what actually your home is in Christ, or what your identity is in Christ, who God has called you to be, what God has anointed you to be. Some of you are in covenant, wrong workplace, and that's the reason you can't prosper and get ahead. You see, I believe that two can't walk together unless they agree. Covenant is a powerful thing. Again, I'm going to ask you, are you in covenant in the wrong environment? I know people right now, somebody called me this last week talking about, asking me about their church. First of all, doesn't live in this area, so I'm not taking anybody out of a church in this area. They were asking me about a church and their environment, and they were asking my advice. They were in covenant with an environment that'll never allow them to do what God has called them to do. It'll never challenge them to come up spiritually to a higher level. They're in covenant with the wrong environment. That doesn't mean those people are bad people. Doesn't mean necessarily it's a bad church. It's just the wrong environment for where they are in their life. And if you are blind in an environment, the last thing you need to do is put down roots in an environment that will keep you and sustain you in that state that you're in. You've got to come out of that environment so that you can get free. Man, I wish we had a whole loud crowd here, because I think right there we'd have just shouted and everybody took off running. Again, I'm going to ask you a question. As my son comes, I want to ask you a question. Is it possible to walk with Jesus, experience His power, see His miracles, and yet have Him appear only to go unrecognized? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So, I wonder how many times you and I have missed God in moments. I wonder how many times we thought that we had a season of unanswered prayer. It really wasn't unanswered prayer. We just missed something that God was trying to show us in that moment. Next week, we're going to talk about two men who walk with Jesus, and He shows up and they can't even recognize who He is. I wonder how many church services we have where we say, hey, you know, we've done all this to prepare for Jesus to come in. And we have church and Jesus shows up. Maybe He shows up in a way that we don't recognize Him. You know, years ago, there was this movie. It was very controversial. I like a little controversy every now and then, every now and again, though, because I think it makes you think, and I have my own opinions about it, but you'll remember the movie The Shack. It's based on a book. In the book and in the movie, God shows up as an old black woman. An old black woman. And man, theologians had terrible times with that. And I understand the theology behind why they said they struggle with that. So I'm not arguing with theology, but I do want to say, could it be, and I'm not saying that he'll show up like that, but could it be that when God wants to move in your life and you're looking for a lamb, that God will send a ram in the bush? Could it be that when you need a healer sometimes and you say, God, I need the preacher to lay hands on me, that maybe God will say, hey, I'm going to have the preacher put up a cross this morning and he's going to preach and he's going to ask everybody to come and touch the cross. And you're thinking, that's foolish. I want him to lay hands on me. When God told Moses, when a generation was dying as a result of venom, he said, put up a brass serpent on a pole. I want to submit to you that God is an unconventional God. He doesn't fit really well in our little religious boxes. And about the time we think we got him all boxed up, all polished up, all shined up for the world to see, he'll allow something to happen to the box. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, you remember that the presence of God, the Shekinah of God, would come down on the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant was the hope of Israel. But in Eli's day, they put the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders and they carried it out to the battle and the Philistines won. Because God decided on that day, I'm going to be unconventional and I'm not going to be in the box. How many battles have we lost? Because we didn't see God the way he needed to be seen. How many moments have we missed? Well, I just want to tell you this week, you know what my prayer has been? Lord, spit in my eyes. Spit in my eyes. Offend me if you need to offend me. Take me out of every environment you need to take me out of so that I have eyes to see and I have ears to hear. Two biggest gates that control your faith. They're kind of like the locks and the dams of faith in your life. Your eyes, your ears, your mouth. So notice Mark chapter 7, Mark chapter 8. You have a man, can't hear, and his speech is messed up. Mark chapter 8, rather, you have a man who is blind and he can't see. Our faith is all jacked up because we don't hear right, we don't talk right, we don't see right. We've got to get all of those elements in line in order to have the right kind of faith. You know, the kind of faith that when Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, that you don't look down at a loaf of bread and think, how are we going to split this between the 12 of us? But you look down at the loaf of bread and say, oh, that's nothing. If we need to eat, Jesus will just multiply that thing. Tell me a little bit about the leaven. Tell me a little bit about religion and immorality. That's what he was talking about. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Herod. Herod was immorality. The Pharisees was religion. Boy, you don't really want to talk about that today in church. Religion and immorality, oh, they can't touch that. But I'm telling you, here's what's happening. We as a church are becoming like Chorazin at Bethsaida. And God is doing all these amazing miracles. And I don't want to stand before Jesus on that day and him to say, it had been better for you to be them. You would have done better in this day of judgment because you missed all of the moments. I don't want to live in an environment of unbelief. I don't want to go to a church in an environment of unbelief. I'm trying to close, but really the Lord won't let me. I'm just telling you right now, we have to get out of this place of unbelief and doubt all the time, because it is totally possible to go to church, to walk with Jesus, to have experienced His power before and even see His miracles, and yet have Him show up to do something in your life only to go completely unnoticed. I want to give you one last point before I leave you with this last scripture. Are you ready? How did Jesus heal both men? Mark 7, Mark 8. He laid hands on both of them, but what's interesting is He used spit in both encounters. There's only one other time in the Gospels where Jesus used His spit, and that's where He spit in mud for another blind man, mixed it up and put it on his eyes and told him to go wash in the pool. But in this interesting little discourse from Mark 7 to Mark 8, what was it Jesus used in both of them? Spit. Now, why did He use spit? I know some people say, well, spit has healing properties in it. And the ancients believed that spit had miraculous properties in it. Well, the problem is that's written in the Talmud, and that comes way after Jesus. But in Jesus's day, they would have held strictly to the law. And in the book of Leviticus, it says that spit is unclean. And if a person spit on you, watch this now, you had to go home, take your clothes off, you have to wash your clothes, and you were unclean until the next day. All day long, you remain unclean. So why would Jesus, with His disciples around, spit in a man's eyes? Or, make it worse, spit on his hand and put it on a man's tongue? That's even worse to me. Because immediately, He made them unclean. And it is true that spit has healing properties, because spit is the first line of defense in your immune system. The first line of defense. So maybe there's something to that, but I want to submit another reason that Jesus spit. I think because Jesus wasn't spitting on the person. I don't even think He was spitting on the infirmity, because in both instances, after He used His spit, He had to lay hands on him. And with the man who was blind, He had to lay hands on him twice. So it wasn't the spit that did the miracle. But why spit? If it didn't do the miracle, why spit? I believe because Jesus was spitting in the face of unbelief. He was saying, hey, you want to know what's unclean? Let me tell you what's unclean. What's unclean is that I can walk with you, I can talk with you, I can live with you, I can do all these major miracles with you, yet you still live in an environment of unbelief. I can do all of these incredible things, but you can't see it. And I am spitting on the unclean thing in your life. Do you know what's unclean in our life? Unbelief is unclean. Not walking by faith is unclean. I'm going to ask you a really tough question. What's the last thing you did that really required extreme faith? So I get up and go to work. No, you do that every day. If there was no God on the throne, you'd still get up and go to work. What is the last thing you did that required you to use extreme faith? See, it's really easy to get up and preach, I live by faith. It's really easy to sit in a pew and say, I live by faith. But I challenge you. And if you can do this, I'll buy you dinner next week. Make a list right now. Were you able to do 10 things last week that required extreme faith? Now, the reason I'm asking that, or even challenging you with that, it's because the answer to all of our lives is no, we didn't. We just go through the motions. We live out our mundane life. Very rarely do we step out in faith and ask God to meet us. But yet we're supposed to walk by faith, talk by faith. The just are supposed to live by faith. Again, what have you done lately? I almost want to break into the 80s song, "What Have You Done For Me Lately?" Let me give you this scripture here. We started out with this scripture, Isaiah 43:19. "For I'm about to do something new." I dare you to say that out loud, right there where you're at, even if you got to do it under your breath. I'm about to do something new. Say it. Say, God is about to do something new. In fact, you don't need to say He's about to. He's already doing it. Next phrase. See, I've already begun. Just look around. Just look around. Get your eyes off of what you, just the natural realm, and get your eyes on the supernatural. See, I've already begun. Here's the question. Do you not see it? Do you not see it? God's up to something, folks. Do you not see it? He says, look out. I'm going to make a pathway in the wilderness. I'm going to create rivers in a dry wasteland. God says, I'm about to do something so incredible, so unexplainable, so immeasurable, that if you're not careful, you'll miss it. You got double vision? So here's what I want us to do today as we close. First of all, not having church service is normal, but I still believe the word is still as powerful. Let me, first of all, talk to everybody who's watching me around the world. If you don't know Jesus as Lord, you need Him now. I'm not talking about going to church. I'm asking, are you born again? Do you know Jesus? Is Jesus on the throne of your life? Is He the Lord of your life? Does He determine every decision, every direction, every move that you make, everywhere that you go? Is Jesus Lord of your life? And if Jesus is not Lord of your life, I want to encourage you right now, cry out to Him. Jesus said, anybody who reaches out to me, I'll in no wise cast them out. Cry out to Jesus right where you're at. You don't have to go through some religious calisthenic to be right with God. All you got to do is just say, Jesus, I come to You. I need You to be the Lord of my life. I need You to forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of my unrighteousness. I turn from my wicked ways. And today, I ask You to be Lord. And the Bible says if you'll pray a prayer like that and you'll pray it from your heart, not from your head, if you'll pray it out of relationship, not from religion, Jesus said, I'll come in and sup with you and you with me. Jesus said, I'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus said, you'll have a new life today. Old things pass away and all things will become new for you. Can you see it? If you don't know Jesus, pray a prayer like that right now. Just say, Jesus, I need You. For the rest of you who are watching me today, I'm going to ask you if you could do this with me. Would you just take your hand and would you put it on your eyes right there where you're at? Come on, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on all. I still see you right there. You're sitting on the couch. That tan couch, you're not doing it, you're watching me. Put your hand over your eye, right there. Yeah, it's all right. Set your phone down in your lap, put your hand over your eye, and pray this prayer with me. Just say, Lord Jesus, spit in my eye today. Spit on my unbelief. Pull me out of every unclean environment that facilitates this unclean way of life and belief system. Even Lord, if I think it's okay, but it's not challenged me to come up higher in You, Lord, anoint my eyes so that I can see. And God, if You'll help me to see the new thing that You're doing, if You'll give me eyes to see, take away this double vision, I'll never go back to that place that I have a covenant with that kept me blind. I'll live this new life in you today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, listen today, I hope that the message has been a blessing to you. And I really appreciate you tuning in and watching us outside. I hope you go out and build a, or inside rather, I hope you go outside today at some point, build a big old snowman, have fun with your kids. But let me encourage you with this. Next Sunday, this place is going to be packed out with people. Everybody is going to be in church. And next Sunday, we're going to step into the new part of our journey as a church family. And I don't want you to miss it. And we'll be continuing this message entitled Double Vision. And I promise you, next Sunday will be more powerful even than this Sunday. The Lord's really talking to me about this subject. We're going to begin to lay out our vision as a church. Next Sunday, I'll be telling you more about our Easter services and what that's going to look like and feel like and what we're going to do over there to reach people for Christ. But for now, we want you to know I love you. I appreciate you logging in today. Again, if you need prayer, leave a message down there in the chat section. We'll come along after every comment and we'll pray with you. God bless you guys. Have a great week in Jesus' name.